Shoshana is going to be first day of Shoshana is on the Shabbos, so we do not blow shofar in the first day of Shoshana. And one of the questions brought by Meshech Chochma is more famous, but other people as well. And the question is, what's happens? You're not going to blow shofar. Like, why? Because Gemara says we're afraid someone's going to carry the shofar. So let's say you have a shul like here. I don't know how many people daven in Rosh Hashanah. Let's assume I'm making up a number, 100 people daven here. So 100 people daven here. How many people blow the shofar? One. One out of 100 blow the shofar. So we're concerned for one person out of 100 people blowing the shofar. That's already a limited thing. 99 people are losing the mitzvah of shofar for potentially one person who might carry it. The person who usually blows shofar, I'm not in the shul, is usually an impressive person. They don't usually pick anybody. A person who would be aware not to be accidentally violate something. If you could say you'd be aware not to accidentally violate something, if that phrase even is possible. But there is a concept of they give the shofar blowing to someone who potentially would not necessarily make that mistake. As well, if you start searching through Klal Yisrael, how many percentage of the population lives under an Erev, within an Erev, which would mean they're legally allowed to carry. So now let's say you have 1 out of 100 people are blowing shofar. Of the 1 out of 100 people, you have to assume that 85% of those, I'm making up numbers, would not accidentally forget to carry a shofar, because that's Tamid Chacham. And of those 85% who might actually, of the 15% who might actually do it, carry on a shofar, some of them are allowed to carry because it's legally allowed in many places in Klal Yisrael. So you're coming out because of what? I'm making up a statistic now, whoever's an actuary here. One out of 700 people in Klal Yisrael might, by mistake, not a big deal if it's by mistake, you know what I'm saying? It's only accidental. One by mistake might carry a shofar, and therefore all of us are losing out the mitzvah of shofar, which according to some interpretations, the shofar is ma'arvah v'sasatan. It makes the prosecutor become nervous and avoid having a conversation against us. So we want the shofar being blown because that's good for us because we have less prosecution. So what we're not going to have a prosecution of a shofar, which is some use the phrase, some swarm to talk about it, because the fascists. Because potential because of us is why? Because of the one guy out of, I said now 700, but you got to do statistics on your own. One out of 700 who accidentally won't even be so much punished, he might forget the thing. So everyone else is losing out on that saving point. And there are many different approaches, which I was not planning on talking about today. I'm just using this as the introduction to talk about how the shofar is a serious concept of ma'arv v'sasotin. The sotin and the shofar are linked together. Not necessarily for the sotin's happiness, but they are linked together. We'll discuss now. Very good. It's still not very good. He's saying that it's not for the shul structure we have today, but many private people back then. I can't blow a shofar. I never really tried, so I'm assuming I can't. Could be I'd be unbelievable at it, but odds are not. So, what percentage of the population today knows how to blow a shofar? We're assuming, maybe correctly so, that 2,000 years ago, the population was much better at blowing shofars than they are today at blowing shofars, and many people had to blow privately, and therefore the percentage goes up. It still wouldn't be as great as a percentage as you'd imagine of a pikuach nefesh to save Klal Yisrael. But yes, you, instead of 1 out of 700, I don't know what you would think it is, it would be 1 out of, I don't know, maybe 1 out of 30. I don't even know if it would be that much. And again, they would send out the announcements beforehand. I'm assuming they put the tzetlach on and say, by the way, it's Shabbos, don't carry the shofars here. But even with that, someone's going to forget. So again, the percentage is not high to be losing out on the positive of quieting the potential prosecutors. You had a question?
I was just going to say, how many cities had a Reuven at that time compared to what we have today?
How many Erevs are in cities today is a very controversial topic of what's accepted as an Erev. So I don't know what was then either. But yes, many cities put up Erevins, and many cities, every city that has an Erev, there's an anti-Erev, guys. That's usually how it works. And that's not a new thing in Brooklyn. That's an old thing that, sadly to say, has been going on for a long time in Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we're going to discuss one idea of the connection between the shofar, which we know there's a connection, between the shofar and the satan, which I gave you the obvious one, irva v'satan, and we'll see halachically how that practically applies. Here we have halachically practically applies. It doesn't practically apply. The shofar and the satan being connected does not practically apply. We're not doing it on the Shabbos. It only becomes a question. That means we know we don't blow shofar this year on Shabbos. And then the question becomes, why not? That we should want to have the satan silenced. But that's not a halacha practicality that comes out of it. Today we're discussing a potential practicality that comes out of it. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, the Ramah takes on minig of Ashkenaz, while the Shulchan Aruch did not. And many times when you have a minhag quoted by the Ramah, you have to question if the Shulchan Aruch disagrees with it, or for whatever reasons, he's not quoting it. We discussed this a couple weeks ago, which seemed to gather a lot of back and forth here, that the Rama writes in Hilchos Peruvu that a person who has a child mamzer, which would be a person who has relations with his sister, as an example, and he produces a child, and that child would count for the mitzvah peruvu. And the Rama writes it, but the Shulchan Aruch does not write it. The Rama writes it. So the question is going to become, does the Shulchan Aruch disagree with this idea? Or does the Shulchan Aruch have a reason why he didn't write it? That was 2 weeks ago. I don't know if we got into it that much. I don't remember exactly. But that's a question. Every time you're going to see something in the Rama, you have to then decide, does the Shulchan Aruch people do it or not? And then you have to go ask your local Sephardi, which in Brooklyn, we're all mixed up. This custom that the Rama quotes, I am pretty sure, I don't blow Shofar, but I am pretty sure that most Sephardic customs agree with this. So you have to know either they... the irvuv of societies mixed everyone together, or there was they did hold that way, and the Shulchan Aruch had a reason why they didn't write it. So we're on Tav Kuf Pehe 585, and it says the beginning. Tzarech Letkayim Umar. I think most people recognize that's a Shulchan Aruch. The Rama is not disagreeing it. That you stand. The one who's blowing shofar stands, and therefore it could be also that the people who are listening are supposed to stand as well. Again, I'm not getting into practical final laws, but lachachila will be easy if everyone stands. That's Shulchan Aruch Aleph. We're skipping the Rama on Shulchan Aruch Aleph. Fine. Then he says, you have to press Shachiyanu, Shulchan Aruch says. We're going to skip that as well. And then the Rama says these details. The Rama says, Hagah. This is the second Hagah on base. Rama says, V'toiv, Litkoya B'tzad Yimin. A person, toiv, better, good, better to blow, we don't know what that means yet exactly, B'tzad Yimin on the right side. Im Efshel Litkoya B'kach, if it's possible to do such a thing. He's adding in right away the detail, Efshel Litkoya B'kach. Now, what does it mean? I don't know what everyone thinks. Again, as I say, everyone comes to a preconceived notion 99% of the time. They don't realize it. When you'd read the words as the first time you ever heard these words in your life, what would it mean that toiv letkoya betzad yamin? So there's a little star here in the Mishnah Berurah, and the star goes to the Bir Halacha. Just we're gonna go in order soon with Magen Avraham and stuff. But let's go to show you how far I might go. Betoiv letkoya betzad yamin. I am the Mishnah Berurah. He tells look the Mishnah Berurah, which we're skipping a step here now, but we'll see. Oid shamati. This Mishnah Berurah is part of one of the greatest fake news stories of all time that's about to come out. Maybe I'll tell you the fake news. Oh, yeah, we're being recorded. It's only just live on someone's thing. Not sure how much I want to talk about that. Oy Shabbat B'Shem HaGoyin. This is Mishnah Berurah quoting. I heard B'Shem the Goyin, Memhei Resh Resh, Meir Simcha Koyin. Meir Simcha Koyin became very famous 2 weeks ago. I don't know, he should have been famous 100 years ago. But it was his 100th yard site, a couple weeks ago. That is the Ar Sameach / Meshech Chachma. He died, he only had printed the Arsameach. After he died, a year later, it was the Meshech Chachma came out, but he'd been working on the Meshech Chachma his entire life. So it says, he calls my name, Meir Simcha Koyin, Tam Nochoin. He quotes a very good reason on why you'd have to have Litkoya B'tzad Yamin. So keeping your preconceived notions on what you think Litkoya B'tzad Yamin means. Whatever you're thinking in your head, let's see if the Mishnah Berurah holds a Tam Nochoin. And by the way, it's a very interesting thing that he's quoting Rav Meir Simcha in general, quoting someone on his own time period. Was not, I can't say absolutely not, but not a very common thing that the Mishnah Berurah did. And here he's quoting that he's not telling you he heard. And he's only quoting a reason. So it's not like, he's not practically quoting an halacha here. So it seems to be on the simple version that the Mishnah Berurah went out of his way to cite this Ur Sameach because it doesn't change any law on the surface. And it doesn't have a reason why you only Shamati Mimenu doesn't say he heard it. I don't know if you heard it from him directly. He heard Tam Nachayim. Here goes. Ki b'shas Rosh Hashanah, Taf Lamed Aleph, 34a in Rosh Hashanah, Yalfi lo tkiya shofar, mechatzoytzer samachama. You learn the idea of blowing shofar from when they blew chatzoytzer, which is one of the 613 commandments, obviously not applicable today. Uvekro and shoftim, there's all the arsmech. The arsmech saying, since the pasuk is we learn out shofar from chatzoytzer. And the pasuk in shoftim says these words, Eitzel mochemes, mechama, begidoy. Here goes the pasuk. Vayachziku, they held. But not this time. Vayachziku biyad smoylim, they held in their left hand. Balapidim is a place. Uviyad yaminam, and in their right hands, hashoifer is letkoyim. So the pasuk in shoiftim says that they were holding in their right hand, shoifer is letkoyim. And shoifer is means shofar, and it says there by the war they held it in the right hand. Therefore, what? Therefore, toiv letkoya betzad yamin. Did anyone up until 5 seconds ago assume that when it says toiv letkoya betzad yamin, it meant your right hand? So here the Mishnah Berurah is quoting, we'll get that in a minute, what it means. What does it mean, B'tzad Yamin? What does B'tzad Yamin mean? There are multiple potential interpretations. B'tzad Yamin could mean, I'm just throwing it out there, could mean like when you daven, you turn toward the Mizrach side. You turn toward your right, like, you know, you lean over toward your right. That would be one thing, your body turning to the right. Where you're holding your shofar, what hand you're holding your shofar in, it's possible to say that B'tzad Yamin has nothing to do with that. You could be the one who was standing, I don't know his name, you could be a lefty, holding it in your left hand, on the left side of your mouth, but turn right. Oh, that's possible. Or it could be nothing. Turn, face Mizrach, and turn the top of the shofar a little bit to Tzad Yamin. That would also be B'tzad Yamin. Or it could mean the right side of your mouth, or it could mean your right hand. And there's more. What does the word B'tzad Yamin mean? The Bir Halacha goes out of his way to tell us this interesting idea that, by the way, it means there is a source to holding in your right hand. Now, I don't know. I don't blow shofar. I don't know if it means that the person who's a righty in general would blow on the right side. Could be that's what he's saying. That the guy who holds it in his right hand puts it on the right side of his mouth, and the guy on the left hand puts it on the left side of his mouth. Again, I don't know if that's even true. I looked up yesterday at around 1:30 in the morning, as I was preparing. I said, I wonder how people blow trumpets. So I was naive, and I don't play instruments. And I looked up, do trumpet players blow from the right side with the left hand? That's how I put it. And it says, I didn't know this, trumpets are blown from the middle of the mouth. Yeah. It made sense afterward. So, but at the time, I didn't think about it, right? I know Stephen Wright. Stephen Wright has many, many famous jokes. It's my type of humor. I shouldn't be saying that out loud, but he has a lot of funny. Right, Stephen Wright? He's very good. So Stephen Wright has a thing. He's trying to play harmonica, but he can't do it. So instead, what he does is he drives 100 miles an hour and he sticks his hands out of the car. Anyway, right humor. But the idea is, so I don't even know, all these harmonica, I don't know how these things work. Is there a right side, left side of the mouth? And more so, would it be dependent on a righty or a lefty? Would that make a difference at all? Because the halacha only says B'tzad Yamin. And the Mishnah Berurah, we'll get to Mishnah Berurah in a second, but I'm just saying the Bir Halacha. Now, just for the entertaining factor of it, there was a legend that went around a decades legend that was absolutely proven false. It can't be true. But just for the entertainment factor, we will tell it. That the Mishnah Berurah quoting this Ar Samech when it's a reason, doesn't have a practical difference reality to it. He's just saying that we have a pasuk that says your right hand, okay? Not only might it have a practical difference, it might not be relevant. If the whole B'tzad Yamin is discussing the top of the shofar being turned, or the shofar on the right side of the mouth, or leaning toward the right side of the body as he's doing it, then what hand he's holding it might be completely irrelevant. So why would he be quoting such a potential non-practical thing, the Bir Halacha? So the legend for years was, which I'm telling you beforehand, and I will prove it in a second, I wasn't planning to say this, but absolutely not true, that there was a famous meeting between the Ar Samech and the Chafetz Chaim. That part is definitely true. Not only them. In St. Petersburg in early 1910, 1912, around the early 1900s, about bringing foreign languages, Russian, into the school system and forcing people to learn the language of the land, including that the rabbis who would get the job, a job requirement on their resume would have to be that they speak the local language. Now, this event happened in many places. It happened in Poland as well, where Meir Shapiro had it years later. And this was an event that became a big thing. And it seems like that the Ar Samech was a Rav in Dvinsk. That was a decent-sized city, and he was a Rav. And he held, yes, let's not fight this, this is a good idea. This is a good idea because the younger generation is, not everyone's fully integrated, wrong word, something with Yiddish only. And, it's a good idea. We'll reach more people this way. And others were opposed to it. And at one point, the Chofetz Chaim went to this meeting as well. And it seemed the Chofetz Chaim was somewhat opposed to it as well. And this meeting is documented. And within this meeting, it seems it might have gotten a little bit contentious. So the legend was that the Chofetz Chaim, in order to be Mephias, that's the right word to even use, in order to show that he had no hard feelings towards the Ar Samech. Again, I don't like such a phrase, but if it's such a phrase could exist, but this was a legend that most people believed until recently, that if the Chofetz Chaim felt that to be Mephias, again, I don't like that word, to somehow show that he had no hard feelings, whatever these words mean, is that he quoted him in the Bir Halacha, even on something that might not be relevant so much to the style of the Mishnah Berurah, just to show we're on good terms. Now, again, besides all the potential issues with the psychology of this conversation, but reality was that this section of the Mishnah Berurah was printed originally before that meeting ever took place. So clearly that story that was quoted by many Darshanim over many decades has absolutely been debunked, but it's a good idea to know anyway. Maybe not. Maybe not a good idea to know. Hope it is, because I said it just now. Anyway, back to this. So now we have an idea. We have an idea that the Mishnah, that the Halacha says, Betzad Yamin, and Betzad Yamin, again, we're pointing out, could mean, it's a vague terminology. It could mean the top of the shofar being tilted to the right. Could be the whole body is tilted to the right. It could be the right side of his mouth. Or it could be using your right hand. The Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, in Tavkuf Pehei Beis, and there's going to be a machloikas on how to read this Magen Avraham relevant to how lefties are going to practically do it. So the Magen Avraham says, let's find it. I'm not used to this Shulchan Aruch here. So the Magen Avraham says, here, Betzad Yamin. First two words of the Magen Avraham, Betzad Yamin of Shel Piv, of your mouth. So it means, if you have to stop now, he's learning that the right side has nothing to do with your hands, nothing to do with what you're facing, probably not what you're facing, nothing to do with tilting the shofar where the sound comes out of. It means the right side of the mouth. Why? Mishum deschiv. Why would you have to do on the right side? Here goes the Magen Avraham. Because it says in the pasuk in Zechariah, Vasotan oymid al yaminoi lesitnoi. The satan is standing on the right side of a person in order to be sitnoi, antagonist, prosecutor. And therefore, I don't know exactly, are you trying to be frustrating to him? Like, the kids who walk around blowing the trumpets in your head, in your ear, but you're turning it toward him, and he's on your right side. Now, that happens to be, I saw, there's a medrash that says when Akash Baruch Hu sits in Din, the right side is always called Chesed, the left side is always Gvura, and it says that the Sanegar, the protector of Klai Yisrael, sits on the right side. Not Klai Yisrael, it doesn't say Klai Yisrael. The medrash says when he's prosecuting, it's Klai Yisrael also, but even the Goyim, I'm assuming, that the protector, the defense attorney, sits on the right side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give him more strength, and the prosecutor, the Satan, sits on the left side. So since we believe we're facing opposite HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would make sense that he is standing toward our right side, mirror image. If he's on the left side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'd be on our right side. So we're blowing the shofar toward the right side of the person blowing the shofar, because the Satan is standing there, so we're going after him directly. Because of a claw, the Bishlah, Shekin Nachan. It's a good idea to do Al Piyah Kabbalah. It's a good idea to do Al Piyah Kabbalah. That's Magen Avraham quoting. Then it says, Deloy Kalavush. Because the Lavush writes that Al Piyah Kabbalah, you should blow to the left side. Now, when you look at the Lavush inside, even though he openly says it, and he has a pasuk and this type of stuff, he says, blow on the left side. Again, we're assuming now left side means Shel Piv. I'm not sure exactly. He's standing there, so the right side is closer. That the left side is ideal Al Pi Kabbalah, but he agrees, the Lavush, that this minhag is go to the right side. He's just saying Al Pi Kabbalah. So we have the Magen Avraham in very limited words here, telling us a lot. First, it means piv of the mouth, paste. Why are you doing it so far? We're not finished yet. So far, because the Satan is on our right. I'm adding on that it'll be on our right, because basically it's on Hashem's left. And then he adds on, it's Nachan Al Pi Kabbalah. He doesn't even tell us what that means. I don't know. Kabbalah, Pashtus, means the right side is more chesed. Again, we're doing opposite HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Loika Lavush. New reason why. Why? We already have protection on our left side. You know we have on our left side? We have tefillin on our left side. So we have the tefillin on our left side. We have that. We want to protect our right side too. But a shofar to our right side. So it's like we're balancing ourselves out. And then the Magen Avraham adds on. Vim Kane, if I'm telling you it's because of the tefillin, you know what the obvious question that happens? The lefty, are you the one who blows shofar as well? You blow shofar. What does the lefty do? Imkain iter yad litkaya biyamin diday. Min diday means on his left side. Why? Because if the whole reason why we're blowing on our right side is because we all have protection on our left side because we put the tefillin on our left side, then the lefty in the room who puts his tefillin on his right side would have to have the satan on the other side. That we already have he already has protection on his right side. Now there is a minhag in the Kafachayim and others that the lefties put on tefillin on both hands. Like the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, for those on the Hasidic lineage, there's a separate minhag that lefties put on righty tefillin at the end of davening. We're not asking personal questions here. But the idea is, so the Magen Avraham says a very interesting thing. Now, how we're going to read this Magen Avraham, this is going to be an unbelievable debate, and then you have to decide for yourself. So the Magen Avraham quotes, first of all, I'm talking about the right side of the mouth. Now, I'm assuming right side of the mouth, again, are you tilting the top of the shofar to go right side? Are you using your right hand? Are you moving your body a little bit? Let's say someone is deformed and his whole mouth is on his, he had surgery and they close up his mouth and they open up his cheek. his right cheek is opened up. Does he have an inyan on his right, if he's blowing out of his right cheek, does he have an inyan on his right cheek to go to the right side, which would be toward the back of his cheek? Would he go to the right side of the cheek? Or no, once you're on the right side, you're fine to do it. What does right side mean? It's very vague terminology. So first he says that the sutton stands on the right, and then he says the tefillin is on the left. And then we have a question, itiyad. The debate now is going to be on how to learn this. Now look at the Mishnah Berurah here. The Mishnah Berurah says it. Betzad yamin. Shel piv. Adds on, it means the tzad yamin of his mouth. Bishum dechsiv v'asot noimid v'asot noimid liminari. Now in the Shaar HaTzion, he adds on, unbelievable. He says, Magen Avram. On the bottom, Oysid Ches. Magen Avram means Oysid Ches, shall piv the right side of your mouth because the sutton stands on the right. Then he adds on, Umagen Avram kosev oitam. The Magen Avram adds on another reason. Mishum de besmolat tefillah maginim. Because the protection of the righty is that he has already tefillah on his left hand. Vesayim, and therefore the Magen Avram ends. Vim kegdi tiyad yesh kabi b'min d'day. The lefty, it reverses it. Now the Mishnah says, by the way, v'loya takti b'fnim, I didn't say this inside. I don't want the Mishnah Berurah is leaving out what lefty do on the inside of the Mishnah Berurah. He's putting in the Shaar HaTzion. There's a fascinating Mishnah Berurah here. There's a lot going on in this little thing here. The Efsha, why? The Efsha, maybe. The Latam HaRishon, loy shayach zeh. What about the Tam HaRishon? When it says the Sutton stands on the right side, forget what I told you about the mirror image. Does the Sutton stand on the right side? Because what? On everyone's right side? Or on righty's right side? Big nafkamina. If you say the Sutton stands on everyone's right side, then you should come to the easy conclusion that whether you're a lefty or a righty, you blow the shofar. We're trying to annoy the guy. I don't know if that's the thing. So we blow it toward the right side because that's where he is. If he's standing here, annoy him. Who cares if you're a lefty or righty? That's where he stands. Or maybe not. Maybe he only stands on that side because he's trying to avoid the tefillin. Maybe the tefillin is such a powerful kryptonite. Aging ourselves. Maybe the tefillin is such a kryptonite that the sutton always goes to the right side. So on a righty, roiv oilam, the sutton goes to the right side to avoid kryptonite. But on a lefty, who puts on his tefillin on his right hand, the sutton moves over to the left side. How do you understand this? So Mishnah Berurah is saying, I don't know. The Magen Avraham ends off the words by saying, according to this idea of tefillin, lefty switch it. So Mishnah Berurah says, I don't know, I'm not writing this inside the halacha. Why? Because it's the second reason of the Magen Avraham. That's what Mishnah Berurah seems to say. The oitam acher. And according to oitam acher, it could be that he's always on the right side. And then he adds on, unbelievable, which became a great debate in Chabad. We're not discussing that one. The kar of loymish shebetnei zeh lo yatakti agraz achilak te'iter. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Tanya, when he writes over this halacha, he doesn't mention lefty at all. Doesn't mention it. So the Mishnah Berurah is saying, I'm assuming the reason why he left out a crucial detail. What percentage of the population blows shofar? We're going to debate if it's nowadays or 2,000 years ago. Fine. But there's a percentage of the population that blows shofar. We don't know what the number is. 1 out of 700, 1 out of 30. What percentage of the population who blows shofar are lefties? It's not something to ignore. Once we're caring about the people who blow shofar, we should care about the lefties. It's got to be a decent amount. So he says the Graz, the Tanya doesn't quote it. So he says, the Mishnah Berurah is putting in parentheses, the reason why the Graz doesn't quote it, because he might be going according to the first reason, that the Sutton is Oymer al Yemino, and Sutton al Yemino is always, he always stands on the right side of everybody. Since he's always standing on the right side of everybody, therefore even a lefty or a righty would have to blow toward the right side to annoy the Sutton. So it would be no difference. He puts it to the Efshar. Then he says, Void, I have another reason. Da Chemed Moshe, Sfardi, Kosav, the Lav Dafka Shat Tfilin Shel Yad Shel Hatakeya. Why are we looking at this individual and deciding his tefillin is the protector? Doesn't necessarily work the way. Ela tefillin da alma. We go on what's called tefillin. Lamaisa roiv population but tefillin on the left hand, and therefore the sutton always hangs at the right hand. He doesn't go what he doesn't. He's not going on the individual tefillin of that person who wears tefillin. He's going on in general. He hangs out on the right side of a person because in general the power of tefillin is on the left side. The alma megin amid the small shuadin ulefichach ein chilak bein itel achev v'chein nira. He says, in the end, the Chemeshet says the lefty should go. Who cares about the personal tefillin? So we have two major events here. Just to quote you the Be'er Heitev, to show the Be'er Heitev learns differently. I think the Be'er Heitev learns differently. Be'er Heitev learns this. This is a question on, I saw a case a few years ago that there was I think it was like $17 billion lawsuit, and it was tied into the fact, was there a semicolon or a comma in the contract? How do you read the contract? How does it? It was a German company. I forgot. If you Google, it'll come up. How does it come up? The semicolon or the comma? What was there? And what does each one in lumdus mean? So here we just quoted that the Chofetz Chaim says Magen Avraham or Magen Avraham Kosev Oitam. So the Magen Avraham when says these words, Betzad Yemin Shel Piv Mishum Dechsev Asat Noy Medal Yeminoi VeKosav Bishla Shekein Achanah Pikabal Lagvush Uvagoyis Hamaymeni Kosev Aloy Bismol Bifnei. Is what's the vav uvagoyis Hamaymeni and means previously there's a semicolon or a period, new approach, or no, he's mixing the two together. Look at a Berhita, reads the words, same words. Berhita says, Tzad Yemin, Tichsiv, doesn't quote Magen Avraham, but as he's quoting, Tichsiv, because it says, Vasatan Oymid Al Yeminoi, the Satan stands on the right side. So you're blowing toward the right side. Now that's what the Magen Avraham quoted. Then, he without saying the detail of Tefillin, Berhetiv left out, he did the first part of the Magen Avraham and the last part of the Magen Avraham, left out the middle. Ve'ite yad, yesh letkoya, beam into the left side. He quotes the Magen Avraham. So let's get the order of the Magen Avraham. It's unbelievable. The Magen Avraham starts out by saying, if we're going to divide it into sections, I'm not saying colons or periods, because I don't know. Originally, I'm assuming the old days, they didn't put anything in there, or that could have been something people missed. Magen Avraham says, betzad yamin shel piv. What does tzad yamin mean? The halacha only says betzad yamin. Betzad yamin shel piv, of your mouth, right side of your mouth. Right side of your mouth, again, could have meant you could still face it to your left side and you could still turn your body. But okay, how do you know? Dechsiv, v'asotan oymer al yamin al sitnai. The sotan oymer al yamin al sitnai. Now that's step one. Step two is going to be machloikis in Kabbalah. V'kosu b'shlo shekei noig api Kabbalah, d'loi kalavush. That would be step two. That's probably irrelevant to this conversation, at least how much time we have. Step three, uvagoyis hamayim is kosov. Do not do it on the left side. And then step four, if that's true, step four, then lefties have to switch it. If you're based on tefillin, switch it again. But, and the Mishabura says, I don't know, inside my Mishabura, I'm not writing what lefties should do, because I'm not sure myself. I'm only writing on the bottom to tell you what to do. That, by the way, Tanya left it out in the Shulchan Aruch Harav. I'm just telling you, I don't know what to do inside, but otherwise I'm leaning toward always do it to the right side. But the Ber Hetiv doesn't say that. He does step one and step four. So if I didn't quote you, Magen Avraham, this is how you read the Ber Hetiv. You're supposed to do it on the right side. And by the way, the Ber Hetiv doesn't even say shel piv. Leaves out the word shel piv. Blow toward the right side. That would mean, I think, again, preconceived notions. Blow toward the right side would mean tilt your body or tilt the sound to the right side, not necessarily right side of your mouth. But it says, Yemin, Tichsiv, the Satan stands on the right side, and a lefty shall blow on the left side. Because that's his thing. Don't do a tefillah. So it's possible to say that like this. The Mishabur learns, the Mishabur understands that if the Satan is on the right side, the Mishabur says, according to that, I understand that right side is universal. The Satan stands universally on the right side of everybody. If I go at right side. If I switch it off to tefillin, the Mishabur says, then I can start debating. That's why he's saying, oh, I didn't write it. I can depend on the individual lefty versus righty. The Sutton is ambidextrous. He moves around based on the person, individual, where he puts his tefillin. Or the Mishnah says, by the way, the Chemed Moshe, these are real people. The Chemed Moshe says, no, it doesn't go on the individual, the tefillin. Lean toward the right side again. So according to the Mishnah saying, according to reason, we're skipping section two of Kabbalah. But section one is, if you're going to have right side or left side based on Sutton, Mishnah says, yeah, if it's based on Sutton, I'm going right side for sure for everybody. And if it's going on tefillin, I got a debate. Tefillin can be individual, like the Magen Avraham seemed to say, or tefillin can go Chemed Moshe, who argues the Magen Avraham, and says, no, tefillin also goes on the general population of tefillin. That's what Mishabura is learning. It seems like the Ber Hetiv is not learning that. The Ber Hetiv is saying, even according to the Tzad, puts much more strength toward the left side. Even according to the Tzad, that it's, again, how much are you reading into the Ber Hetiv? The Ber Hetiv is just saying two points. The right side, because the Satan stands on the right side, and therefore a lefty should go to the left side. Don't do a tefillin. That would mean that it's possible to say that even according to the Tzad, that the Sutton hangs out on the right side, it depends on the individual. The Sutton, you can say, you know, it depends how Kabbalistic you want to admit you are in public. The Sutton can say, I hang out on everyone's right side. I hang out on everyone's strong side. Don't do a tefillin at all. Tefillin's irrelevant. Who talks about tefillin? Why when you blow on your shofar, you think about tefillin anyway? You don't put on tefillin on Rosh Hashanah, right? What do you think about tefillin for? Okay. But obviously they're doing it. So it could say that the Sutton hangs out on someone's right side. He gains strength from the person's right side. On whose right side? A righty's right side, because that's where the person's strength. The Satan is coming to battle us on our strengths, right? The famous question on 1980s, 1970s baseball. What do you work on in minor league training? Do you work on your best pitch or your worst pitch? So here, the Satan hangs out on the right side. Why? That says he hangs on the right side. Barrett said, yeah, he hangs on the right side, but for the lefties, he hangs on the left side. Okay, why? It must be that the Behetiv might understand. That must be. Might understand. That the Behetiv understands very simply. The right side is because the son hands over on people's strength. If you're lefty strong, go left side. So we have a very potentially confusing situation as to what right side, and first let's go. So we have a very confusing thing. What does right side and left side mean at all? Does right side mean you're holding your right hand? Does right side mean on the right side of your mouth? Magen Avraham openly says it. Berhetiv left out right at all. Didn't even say what it means. He just said the sun standing there. So I would venture a guess that the right side of that means you're blowing toward the right side or you're facing onto the right side. You turn, it depends how much you're turning, your face or your body, it depends how comfortable. How serious is this? Obviously, Halacha says, this is lechachila. If a person is more comfortable using the left. Now, again, left has potentially four different explanations of what left means. Left hand, left side of the mouth, left side of the face turning, right? Maybe he doesn't like the guy sitting on his right side. He wants to face this guy when he's doing it. So that lechachila, of course, you go toward the right. But if you can't, Mishnah Berurah says it also, I think. Im efshel letkoyeh b'kach. Not Mishnah Berurah. The Ramah who quotes a hominik. Hagov v'toyv letkoyeh b'tzad yamin. Im efshel letkoyeh b'kach. He right away says that. Im e efshel. I don't know what the word efshel and efshel means literally. I don't mean 100% incapable. You have to, it probably means what you're more comfortable with. Right? Probably. I don't think it's literally. Let's put it this way. Let's say the guy, if he's moving toward his right, he will blow at 98%. I don't know how good he is. Say it to me when he's not in the room, right? When he gets up there, at what point are you nervous? Is this going to be a long day or not? He's not listening. Is this going to be a long day or he's going to knock this out, right? So at what point? Let's say he says, listen, right side, I'm at let's say 90%. I'll get 90 curls, no problem, right side. Left side, I'm getting 98. And 98, I don't only mean percentage of how much you have to go back for. Maybe it means in the beauty of the sound, in the chumris that's working out. Are we going to the right or are we going to the left? What are we doing here? So when you say an F shebekach, I don't think an F shebekach means 0 versus 100. It probably means there's a certain normalcy to it. At a certain point, if the left side is better, whatever better means, less returning, stronger sounds, whatever you're going to say left side means. Now, this question is not my question. This question was asked by great people. Great people have the question. What do you do if you have two people, and one blows from the left side, and he's a better person, he's Talmud Chacham, Yerushalayim. This was asked to the Chabina Rav, also to Ram Shuk, I think. Ram Shuk was asked this, a little bit different of this case, but same basic idea. Asked to the Chabina and the question is that what do you do when the person who blows on the left side is a more impressive person? Because you want a guy impressive to blow shofar. That's what we said earlier. So the more impressive person is left side. And the guy who's not as impressive. Now, it could be, according to the question, that's why the difference between the two questions, could be that the blowing is the same. The sounds that are coming out are equal. But you like, as a leading the tzibur and tekiah shofar, you like the left guy better. Left-sided person, the guy who's blowing toward the left side much better. What do you do? So the Chabina Rav wrote a fabulous ride. Now, by the way, this question, well, I got to this question because the person who sent in the question was Rav Blankman, Goyin Olam, Talmud Mubuk of Strofsa. And Hashem Kamdom of him and his entire family wiped out. That's why I quote him, the Zer Emes. He's not, doesn't. I don't think there's a sefer of his, but he's in a lot of the old Torah journals. And clearly, when you read his stuff, he was first level. And so he sent this question to Shabina Rav. He was the Rav in Shebeshran. That's a hard word to say. In fact, when I wrote up the Gilead on Reb Blankman a couple months ago, I even wrote that in Poland, like a Peter Piper picked, I'm not finishing that, I'm not going to embarrass myself, but in Polish, the name Shebeshran, if that's even how to say it, something similar, it became like part of a folklore, whatever you call that thing, Peter Piper, I don't know what you call those things, tongue twisters. So he asked the question to Chabina Rav, what do you do, lefty versus righty, when the lefty's a better person? You would seem like, I don't know. It's a very, the whole thing's an interesting question. And he quotes a Gemara in Yuma. In Yuma, coming up on Yom Kippur, what you do is, the Kohen Gadol has two twin animals in front of him. And one's going to go Lashem, and one's going to go not Lashem. And we lechachila want a lot of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, a lot of these things. We are superstitious people. I don't know if that's the right word to use. Is it superstition? It's not. It sounds negative, but it means whatever it means. That's a bad word. We're looking for good omens, schoolers and stuff like that. So it's good. The Mishnah is discussing this, that if his right hand of the Kohen Gadol takes out Lashem, that's a good sign. That's good. We want that. We don't want the left side picking out Lashem and the right side not. It's in a basket. And And the Mishnah details the process, what happens when the Kohen Gadol picks it out of the right side or picks it out of the left side, what will be the difference in the process that occurs right after that. Open Mishnah, Lamates in Yuma. And there it says, the Gemara debates. The Mishnah does not debate. The Gemara says, by the way, this Mishnah is against another Tana. The Hadam Achloikas. How much is better? We want right side Lashem. But before you pick out right side Lashem, it's 50-50, right? You don't know what he's going to pick out. So what do you do? And in the process, there are people standing on his right and left side. The Skan Kohen Gadol is standing there, and the other person is standing there, and they're both there, right side, left side. It became a whole, every detail is important. So the Gemara, not Gemara again, debates. I don't like that. The Gemara quotes someone who disagrees with the Mishnah. The Gemara quotes two machloikas, which the Mishnah doesn't quote. The machloikas of what is better. Do we tell the Kohen Gadol, you put your right hand in first, and you take something out, don't peek. And then the Skan Kohen Gadol on your right then puts in his right hand to take out, and then we figure out who got what. Or do we say no? The Kohen Gadol has two hands, and he puts in two, right, we said before, right and left hand. He puts in both hands, and he takes out one and one. So the Mishnah seems to say, which what with the Rambam rules like, because the Mishnah doesn't quote the Machlokes, the Gemara does, the Mishnah seems to say that the Kohen Gadol puts in two hands, takes him out. What he does after what's in his hand will depend on right hand versus left hand, whatever. But the idea is that Kohen Gadol puts in both. So Shabina Rav says, we're passing like the Mishnah. Like the Rambam says, Kohen Gadol, why? And the Gemara says, the reason why the other man, the Amar, says he wants Kohen Gadol with one hand, Skan Kohen Gadol with one hand, is because he likes right Skan hand versus left Kohen Gadol hand. The Kohen Gadol puts in both hands, he put in the left side. We don't want left side of Kohen Gadol. No, we want righty all the way. So we tell Kohen Gadol, use your right hand. Skan Kohen Gadol, use your right hand. But we don't rule that way. We rule what? We rule Kohen Gadol both hands. So the Shabina Rav, right? The Goyim of the Shabina Rav says that this Gemara proves that in general, and it's Yom Kippur Hashanah, but you don't need that. In general, it proves the person who is greater using left hand, left side, wins out over the lesser person using the right hand. So he tells this Rav from Shabashan, Rav Blankman, Shem Yikum Damov, he tells him, oh, you have a question now in your town, in that town, Shabashan, if you have a problem that you have a better person who can do, fulfill the left side of this, whatever this means, left hand, left side of the mouth, left turning your body, whatever left means, and left means, does it mean blowing clearer, less return when they send you back, whatever left means, but if you have a better person who goes left, as opposed to a lesser person who goes right, the Kohen Gadol should be proof that you go with the better person who goes left. There's a lot more to do, but I think we're going to stop here. There is a Belz and Minug, and others as well, that righty and lefty, I should say it once I'm doing this, that righty and lefty is not dependent on, we already gave, I think, four or five different potential what it means. Their potential is to take the right, b'tzad yamin, I don't think they're saying it in the Shulchan Aruch, I think it's a chumrah, to take the right horn of the animal as opposed to the left horn. If the animal has a righty and lefty horn, then you take a righty horn to be used b'dafka. And some in Hagam have, that if you look at a Baltakeah, they have usually multiple shayfers there in front of them for many reasons. We think it's only because, just in case one shayfer doesn't work, they'll switch over. But there's really other reasons that they use multiple shayfers, Kabbalistic reasons. And it says that in Belz, the Bulgari, who's the brother of Arla Belz, who's in the Zer Emes, said that on the table he had, others as well, they would have all, I don't know how they know this, you have to go, I don't know if they sell, when they sell shayfers in the store, you have to ask Eichlis, that they would have all right hand, right, I don't know what you call it, right animaled, right side shofar from the animal, except for one, they would have one left, pedafka. That's what they would do, the minig of those Hasidic communities. So you would see that the right and left is a big side. I hope we are Ma'arav the Sutton, even without the shofar. We don't even need the shofar this year. Hopefully we'll be in Eretz Yisrael, and if yes, in the Makkah of the Beis HaMikdash, we land out blowing shofar, even B'Makkah and Bezdin, even on Rosh Hashanah, Shkoliyas B'Shabbos, B'Karav Meher Amen, Shkoyach.